Perek Lamed Gimel. We are holding towards the end of the Perek, Baruch Hashem. We have so far, we saw different stories about Tchias HaMesim. We're still on that tangent about Tchias HaMesim and bringing people back to life. So this week, Be'ezer Hashem, we're going to see a story, first of all, of Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. They were thrown into the fiery furnace and managed to survive. We mentioned it like very agav last week, and now it comes up more prominent in this week's Pirkei Eliezer. But all of this really is going to be a hakdama to the last, to mamish that last part of the perek, which discusses the dry bones that Yechezkel brought back to life. And we're going to discuss that story. So the first story over here is really tangential and has like almost nothing to do with what we're talking about, except for the fact that this story is similar to the story of Hananiah and Mishael Azariah. We're going to start with that story. The story is sort of based on Psukim in Sefer Yirmiyah, Perek Chaf Tes, Pasuk Chaf Aleph. It says in the Pasuk over there, Koyama Hashem Tzvokos, the prophecy of Yirmiyah Novi. He says, this is what Hashem said, Koyama Hashem Tzvokos, the King Israel, Hashem the God of the Jews said, El Achav ben Kuloyo, Vel Tzidkiyo ben Masaya. About Achav ben Kuloyo and Tzidkiyo ben Masaya, Hanibim Lochem Bishmi Shoker, who prophesies in my name for falsehoods. So these two people, Achav ben Kuloyo and Tzidkiyo ben Masaya, they were false prophets. So Hashem said about them, Hinini Neisa Neisam Biad Nebuchadrezzar Melech Bavel, behold, I am giving them over to the hand of Nebuchadrezzar Melech, the king of Bavel, V'hikam Le'inechem, and he's going to smite them in your eyes, V'lukach Mehem Klala, and people are going to take a curse about these two people, V'chol Golos Yehuda Hashem Bevavel Lemar. People, when you want to curse somebody, so you're going to make a curse by associated with these people, that you would say, Yisimcha Hashem Kitzikyo Echov Asher Kolam Melech Bavel Ba'esh. When you want to curse somebody, you'll say this curse, that Hashem should make you like Tzidkiyo ben Kaliyah and Tzidkiyo ben Masayah and Acha ben Kaliyah, that they were toasted by the king of Bavel in a fire. Yan Asher Ya. Well, it's in the Nevolah B'Yisrael, because they did this horrible thing in Bnei Yisrael, Ve'inafas Nishei Re'ehem, and they had relations with the wives of their friends, Ve'idabra Dover B'Shmi Sheker, and they prophesied falsely in the name of Hashem, Asher Le'etzivisim, and they didn't command them to say, Ve'nechi Yadev Ve'ed, and I Hashem, am the one who knows, and the one who testifies about it, Nuh Hashem. So that's a prophecy that Hashem said to Yirmiyahu about these two people that were false prophets and that were playing around with people's wives, that they're going to be burnt or toasted in the fire by the king of Bavel, and they're going to be like a curse. People are going to like refer to them as a curse, like, you should be like them. What? So let's see what the Medrash says over here. Rabbi Yochanan Oimer. Rabbi Yochanan says, Olu Yisrael leBavel. Klai Yisrael went up to Bavel, by Golus Bavel, after the destruction of Israel, and they did not leave their bad deeds. They continued in the path of doing bad things. For example, Achav ben Kailoya v'Tzidkiya ben Masaya, these two people, Nasu Reife Sheker, they became, we're on page Reish Peches, Rabbi Epstein, they became false doctors, false physicians. They pretended like they were doctors. And they would quote unquote heal the wives of the Chaldeans in Bavel, and they weren't really healing them, they were going upon them with Tashmish Shemitah. They were having znus with these Chaldean women. Shoma HaMelech V'Omar LeSorfon. So the king, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Bavel, he heard about this and he sentenced these two people that they should be burnt. Right? That's in accordance with the prophecy of Yirmiyahu that these people are going to be burnt. Amru Shnehem, these two people, they said to each other, they said, Yehoshua ben Yehoshadak, Ish Tzadiku. There's a man named Yehoshua ben Yehoshadak. He was going to be the first Kohen Gadol of the second base of Mikdash. Yeshua ben Yitzchak. They said, this Yeshua ben Yitzchak, he's a big gracious person. Yavai Imanu, let's have him come with us. Uvizchusai Anu Nitzaylin. And in his merit, we will be saved. But, so Amruloi, they said to these two guys said to the king, Adeinenu HaMelech, our master the king, Ha'ish hazeh haya imanu b'chol davar. This man, Yeshua ben Yehoi Tzadok, he was with us, he was involved in the whole case, so if you're going to put us to death by fire, you should also put him to death by fire, all three of us together. And they figured that if they have the schus of Yeshua ben Yehoi Tzadok, then they'll get saved. Tziva ha'melech l'sreif ashlashtan ba'ish. So the king made a decree that all three of them should be burnt in the fire. V'yorad hamalach Michael v'hitzil es Yehoshua misreifas ha'ish. And the malach Michael came down and he saved Yehoshua ben Yehoshadak from being burnt in the fire. V'ha'elahu lefnei chisei ha'kovayim, and he brought Yehoshua ben Yehoshadak in front of the chisei ha'kovayim. Shenemar v'ayarni es Yehoshua ha'kein ha'godol. That's in the Nevuah of Zechariah, what we read on Shabbos Hanukkah. So Zechariah was seeing the Kisei HaKavod or whatever, different Malachim, and what did he see up there in Shemayim next to Hashem? He saw Yeshua Kain HaGadol, right up there next to the Kisei HaKavod. So then what was he doing up there? Because when he was thrown into the fire with these two Rishoyim, so the Malach Michoah came and saved him and brought him up to the Kisei HaKavod, and that's why Zechariah saw him in the Nevuah over there, that he was next to the Kisei HaKavod. Ushneim, this is Fubesh. And these two guys, these Rishoyim, Acha ben Koyler and Tzidkiyo ben Masaya, they were burnt in the fire. Shneim, it says in the Pasuk, V'lukach me'am klolo, and people were going to take from them of a curse because these people were toasted or burnt. It happens to be that that's not exactly the lashon of the pasuk. The lashon, like I read the pasuk before, v'lukach mehem klala l'chol golas Yehuda, etc. The yisimcha l'kim, like these two people, asher kolam, that they were burnt, that they were toasted. So the Medrash says asher srafam la'en k'siv kan. It doesn't say that they were burnt. El asher kolam, they were toasted. So what does it mean they were toasted? They died. They were completely burnt up. So why does it say toasted? So the Marzu explains that we're dashing over here like guys that ain't an Indian. If the toasted is not going on these two people that were toasted, because they were completely burnt, it must be that somebody else was toasted. Who was toasted? We're going to say that Yehoshua ben Yehoshua Tzadok, even though he was a tzaddik and he was saved, and the Malach came and saved him, whatever, but he was still toasted. Halamadnu, from here we learn, Shinischarchu Sayroisov Ba'avine Sehem. That his hair, the hair of Yeshua ben Yitzchak, his hair was singed because of the avers of those two people that were being burnt with him. Shneimar, it says in the pasuk, also in Zechariah, in his nevuah, where he sees Yeshua ben Yitzchak, it says, "Halai ze ud mutzal me'esh." He's talking about Yeshua ben Yitzchak, and he calls them a ud mutzal me'esh, a person who was saved from a fire, but he was in the fire, but he was saved from it. He got affected by the fire. He was like the remnant of the people saved from the fire. There's a few differences over here between the Gemara and what we just read over here in the Medrash. The Gemara Mesachus in Sanhedrin in the last parak talks about this story also. So first of all, one small difference is over here. It says that Yeshua ben Yehoshadak's hair got singed. Over there in the Gemara, it says that his clothing got burnt. That his clothing got singed. Okay, that's one small difference. Also, over here, it says that why was Yeshua ben Yehoshadak punished? Because of the averes of those two evil men that he was being burnt with. And so the Gemara says, well, this is because Ba'avayin Sehem.
Yeah, but if he was the tzaddik and he just came along with them, it sounds like he did something.
Oh,
not so correct.
So the Gemara says two explanations. One shot in the Gemara is that what it means is because of the fact that the Gemara asked what's the difference between Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah that we're going to see later on were completely unscathed from the fire that they were thrown into, and Yeshua ben Yehoshadak who was his clothing or his hair was singed. So the Gemara says one thing is that over there, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, it was three people. Masha'enkin by Yeshua ben Yehoshadak, it was three tzaddikim. Masha'enkin by Yeshua ben Yehoshadak, it was only one person. So he had only the schus of one person to save him. And then the Gemara says, what do you mean? By Avraham Avinu Yosef, and he was into the fire, nothing happened to him, it was one person. So then the Gemara says, yeah, but here it's different because he was one person with two Rishonim. So they sort of like balanced it out so that there was some need to get some sort of einish. So he got the einish of his hair or his clothing getting a little bit burnt. That's one pshat in the Gemara. Then the other pshat is the Sanhedrin Tzadikim Lomanov. If Papa says, no, the pshat is because Yeshua ben Yatzedek's children who were supposed to be Kayanim Gedolim, they married women that weren't fitting for them to be married to. So because of that, you see that like there was like a stain on his family, so he was deserving some sort of einish. So because of that, his clothing got a little bit burnt, or his hair got a little bit burnt. That's what the Gemara says. But another point is that it said that over here, it said that they were merapin nishay kazdim ubayim alayim betashmi shavita. They made some sort of gimmick where they would pretend like they were healing the wives of the Chaldean women, and they would go fornicate with them. So the Gemara says a little bit differently. The Gemara says that these two guys made up a plan that they're going to go to the daughter of Nebuchadnezzar and they're going to have relations with her. Why? One is going to say to her, "Ah, the Nebuchadnezzar from God that says you should have relations with the other guy." And the other guy is going to go say to her, "I am the Nebuchadnezzar from God that you should have relations with the other guy." That's what they did. And she told her father about this. Nebuchadnezzar said, "Alekeyam shalzu seine zima," that the God of the Jews, I know that he hates promiscuity. So obviously these guys are false prophets, and that's why he said you should burn them. That's what the Gemara says. Over here it sounds like he was doing it with Nishay Kazdan, like with the different Chaldean women. And so there's a third way of saying over the story. In Seder Adaris, he brings from Sefer Yuchsin, there's a book, it's one of the Apocrypha from the Sfarim Chitzayim, the books that didn't make it into Tanakh, but that they are apparently from the time of Tanakh. It's called Sefer Shoshana, or the Book of Susanna. It's in some groups of Christians have this canonized in their Bible. But there's a story over there called the Book of Shoshana, that there was this Jewish woman named Shoshana, that two men wanted to have relations, two other Jewish men wanted to have relations with her, and she refused. So they decided they're going to give false testimony against her that she was mizana against her husband, and then they're going to put her to Misa as a punishment because she didn't listen to them. So then they went and they gave false testimony about her, and I don't remember exactly the whole story, but Daniel, who was there, was able to figure out that no, it was, they were really lying, and Daniel was able to prove her innocence, and these two guys ended up killed. That's the story. So over there it doesn't say the names of the two guys in this Sefer Shoshana. But the Seder Adaris brings in the name of Sefer Yuchsin that those two guys are these same two guys that we're talking about over here. This is it's that story. That's what he says. It's an interesting thing because if you're medayik good in the Psukim, so the Psukim says, the Apostle says, Vayinafles Neshei Re'ehem. They did adultery with Neshei Re'ehem, with the wives of their friends. Usually we say that like Re'ehu, like Shor Re'ehu comes as the to Lafuke, a Shor of a guy, right? Re'ehu means your friend as opposed to a guy that's not considered Re'ehu. And over here it says the wives of their friends. But that would mean not a guy. But Pirkei de Blezer says it was the wives of the Chaldeans. And the Gemara says it was Nebuchadnezzar's daughter. Right? So I don't know how that works with the Lashon the Pasuk, as in the Shei Re'ehem. According to the Sefer Yuchsin, that it's talking about that story with the lady Shoshana, so then it makes a little bit more sense. It says Re'ehu because she was Jewish. Maybe you could say that Erech Hanami, when the Pasuk says Neshei Re'ehem, it means that they were mezana with all kinds of Jewish women. But over here, and in the Gemara, it's focusing on the fact that they were also mezana with the wives of the Chaldeans, and the Gemara is focusing on also with the daughter of Nebuchadnezzar. It could be that's the pshat.
Maybe it wouldn't bother Nebuchadnezzar so much that they were doing whatever they were doing with the Jewish women. And then when
when he did it with his daughter, then that's what got them. But the pasuk is referring to the fact that they did it with the Jewish women, right? Or you could say that because these people were so bad, the Tzidkiyah ben Masaya and Acha ben Koyla were such bad people that when we talk about their friends, that could mean a guy. Like when the Torah is telling you ki gach shorish is shor re'ehu, so it's talking to like a regular Jew, so you could say re'ehu comes to exclude the ox of a guy. But when it's talking about an evil person, a Rasha, even he's a Jewish Rasha, but he's a Rasha, and it's saying he's the Rasha's friend, so who's the Rasha's friend? It could also mean a guy. I'm not sure exactly. I just thought of that this morning. I don't know.
The story about the last thing in the same thing.
Yeah.
So the story is very funny because who would think of bringing a tzaddik along and getting saved by his chus?
Right. I mean, if there's such evil people that they would do such a horrible thing and they're getting punished for it, like why would they believe in the koyach of a tzaddik? So if you believe in the koyach of a tzaddik, so why don't you be a tzaddik yourself?
So yeah, I can understand that.
That you can understand. So what's bothering you?
No, it's bothering me that the guys don't think that because let's say the tzaddik has this power and they know about it and they're not even, you know, they're not bothered, you know, by the fact they're not being tzaddik in themselves. The thing is, I'm not a tzaddik. I don't want to be a tzaddik. That's their
that's their own business. Yeah.
But the tzaddik can save us. What are they thinking? Why save us? He's going to be saved. They're going to be alone. Saving us.
And? Look, they were desperate, you know? They're going to get killed. So they tried to think of whatever idea they could do.
To do tshuva,
that's already too much for them. To do tshuva is already too far. To drag the tzaddik down with them, yeah. Sam, another interesting point about this story before we go weiter. The Rambam in Mari Nevuchim in Chelik Beis Perek Mem, the Rambam makes a very interesting point. Because these people, they started off as false prophets. Really, in Yirmiyah, it sounds like they're getting punished because they were false prophets. And like one of the things that mentions is that they were also committing adultery. But really, they started off as false prophets. That's their ikar thing that they fell with. That was the ikar of there. So he said, the Rambam says a very interesting idea. He says that the derech of Hashem is that when a person tries to pretend to be a prophet and really he's a false prophet, so Hashem will give him an extra nisayon in terms of sexual immorality and make it that that's his nisayon, and then that will show to people that he's not really a prophet. Because when a person is a Navi, so that means that he's so detached from the physical world, he's so connected to the spiritual world that he can like receive nevuahs from Hashem. He can receive communication from Hashem. Right? But when a person commits these types of averas, adultery and these types of things, that shows that he's so connected to his physical temptations that he gives into, that obviously he's not really so connected to the spiritual world. Right? So that's what the Rambam says, that false prophets, their downfall will be dafka in this realm, these type of averas. And he brings down this case of these two guys that they started off as false prophets and they ended up doing adultery with people because that was Hashem's way of sort of showing everyone that they're not really prophets. You know, don't think too highly of these people. Yeah. So then I saw in Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky and Emes Liakov in Sefer Yirmiyah, Perek Chav Tes, Pasuk Chav Alef over here. So he brings down this Rambam, and he says, look, historically, this is what we see historically. It always plays out like this. The first example he brings is Yashka. The Gemara says about Yashka, you know the story with Yashka, how he went off the derech when he was with Rabbi Shua ben Prachya. They had to run away from the government. They went to like some hotel in Egypt, right? So he was a student of Rishu, and Rabbi Shua ben Prachya makes a comment to Yashki. He says, oh, this innkeeper, she's so nice. And Rabbi Shua ben Prachya was saying that she's so nice, she's taking care of all our needs, she's setting up her beds, etc. And Yashka, he understood that Rabbi Shua ben Prachya was saying that she's good looking. And so Yashka answers back to his Rebbe. He says, yeah, but you know, her eyes aren't like really so good looking, you know? As if he understood that his Rebbe was thinking that in that way. So like Yashka, who was also one of these false prophets we find in history, he also, you see that he wasn't so kosher in terms of you know, purity and immorality like that. Yaakov Kamenetsky also says by Muhammad.
But his mother was.
What? Also we find by Muhammad that Muhammad had a whole bunch of wives. couldn't control himself. He had 13 wives, 10 concubines, I don't know.
Well, I mean, Shlomo.
Is what?
Shlomo.
Shlomo had 1,000 wives.
Okay.
Kasha. He was king. And he was, yeah, I know. I mean, he was one of the greatest.
The world was very different in the time of Shlomo than it was in the time of Muhammad.
Also, he did it for different reasons.
Yeah, political reasons, but
no,
I don't
know. Sort of was one I read in the article.
The Shlomo Melech wanted to spread Kavod Shemayim to the whole world.
No, his father separated himself from Olam Hazeh to show Hashem his love. Shlomo did the opposite. Shlomo's tafkid was to show that even though he could be shore in Olam Hazeh, and he had the big feasts and he had all the wives, he was still connected to Hashem.
Even I heard. He says also, Yaakov Kaminetsky also mentions, and also Yaakov Frank, the Frankists, they were also very involved in adultery and these type of tumors, and they pretended to be prophets, but you know, we could see that from the way they acted that they weren't really holding at that target. But let's go back to it.
Very, good liar to.
What's with the wearing green? It's St. Patrick's Day today?
What? I don't know, just having the same color. I don't know what I'm talking about.
He's Brazilian, I don't think they have that.
But they don't have?
The small guys and the green and
the leprechauns. And the lucky charms, they're magically delicious. Okay, let's go right there. The Yehuda Omer. Now we're going into the story of Hanan and Mishael Bar-Azariah. When Nebuchadnezzar brought a alilis dvarim, a libel against the Jews in order to kill them, what did he do? He erected a statue in the valley of Dura, and he let out an announcement, and he said, anybody who does not bow down to this statue shall be burnt in fire. And Yisrael and the Jews at that time, they didn't trust in the shadow of their creator, meaning they didn't trust Hashem like they should have. And the Jews and their wives and their children, they all came and they bowed down to this statue. Chutz Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Except for four people who were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Interesting story. First of all, there's a machlekes Rashi and Tesis. If what happened over here is begeder Avodah Zarah, or it's not included in the Isra of Avodah Zarah. The Gemara in Maseches Megillah on Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph says that the reason why the Jews were obligated to be destroyed in the time of Achashverosh, one opinion is because they were nana misudasei shel Achashverosh. The other opinion was sheishtachavu letzelem, because they bowed down to the statue. So Rashi says, what's that tzelem? It's talking about this tzelem in the time of Nebuchadnezzar that they bowed down to it, which is some sort of type of avodah zarah that they weren't really supposed to do. So because of that, Hashem made the decree that they're going to be destroyed, and that's what the whole story of Purim started off from. Because the Jews bowed down to the tzelem over here in this story. That's what Rashi understands. Tesis in various places in Psachim and the beginning of avodah zarah and in Maseches Ksubis, a bunch of places, Tesis disagrees with Rashi. Tesis says, no, it's not true. That tzelem that Nebuchadnezzar put up, it wasn't Avodah Zarah. Rather, it was a statue of himself, like Saddam Hussein did. He put up a statue of himself and he took it down, right? So too, Nebuchadnezzar, he put up a statue of himself, and that's what he made the Jews bow down to. If you look in Wikipedia, it says that Saddam Hussein said about himself that he's a Gilgul of Nebuchadnezzar.
Where is that?
I read this on Wikipedia. That Saddam Hussein said about himself that he was a reincarnation of Nebuchadnezzar.
I didn't know about that.
I have to find the link. Al Kulpanim.
On his head?
On his throat? So Al Kulpanim, so Tosfos says, no, it wasn't a Avodah Zarah. It was a statue of the king himself. It wasn't worshipping it as a god. It was just worshipping it as a covet. And still Hashem had time of the Jews for bowing down to it. But it wasn't a Avodah Zarah per se. It was something for a covet for the king. Tosfos brings a few proofs to this idea. One is that the Gemara Pesachim says that Ilmalei Nagdu Hanani Mishal Azariah, they would have bowed down to the statue. The Gemara says that if they would have whipped Hanani Mishal Azariah and caused them physical pain, then they would have bowed down. So Tosfos says, what if it's a Avodah Zarah? Then by Avodah Zarah, you're supposed to give up your life. It's not Deicha Pikuach Nefesh. So they should have given up their lives. So why is the worst thing? If they would have whipped them, then they would have worshipped. They would have bowed down. So Avodah Zarah. Alamai Tosfos says, no, it wasn't really Avodah Zarah. It was just like a covet of the king. Also, the Gemara says that.
Same
type of idea. The Gemara says also the Hanani Mishal Azariah. So how did they know that they should go into the fire instead of bowing to the statue? So the Gemara says they learned the Kal V'Chomer from the frogs.
Where is this Gemara?
In Pesachim, Nun Gimel Amud Beis. The Gemara says they learned the Kal V'Chomer from the frogs. I think Rashi and Chumash brings it down also. Maybe.
Where?
In Parshas Va'era. Let's see. The frogs in Mitzrayim, when Hashem brought out Makas Tzfardim, so the frogs went everywhere. They went all over Mitzrayim, even in the ovens. If a frog goes into an oven, it's gonna die, right? So what happened was that the frogs gave up their lives in order to be Marbe Kovid Shemayim. I don't think Rashi, maybe Rashi doesn't bring it down. I don't see it. I don't know. The frogs gave up their lives that they should die in these ovens in order to be Marbe Kovid Shemayim. So too, Hanani Mishal Azariah said, oh, we also should give up our life. So the question is like, you know, if it's really a Avodah Zarah, so then why do you have to learn a Kal V'Chomer from frogs? It's a Pashat Halacha that you give up your life for Avodah Zarah, right? So Tosfos says from that it's not really, it wasn't really a Avodah Zarah, it was a covet. But Rashi understood that it was a Avodah Zarah. Another Nakuda is...
Because it says Tzelem.
Well, Tzelem just means statue.
Normal.
Tzelem just means...
I thought Tzelem meant statue. Tzelem means like a image.
So okay, right. Tzelem really means, normally, let's say Tzelem means image.
The word is used Tzelem in the Isser, I think.
Okay, but it's about Adam Rishon. It says about Adam Rishon, Vayered B'Demusa Ketzalmoy. Tzelem just really means image, yeah.
But in Isser of Zara, Mishan,
but Tzelem Alekim Boroi Som, I don't know. The Maisa, the Radal has a Girsa, it doesn't say V'Yishtachavu LaTzelem, it says V'Yishtachavu LaAvodas Gilulim. Which sounds mamish like Avodah Zarah. Okay, the Radal has another interesting discussion over here. That the Gemara has two opinions why the Jews in the time of Purim had the gzera, either because they were shtachal l'tzelem or because they were nan of sudas shal chashverish, right? The Gemara in Megillah, the one who said that it was because they bowed down to the tzelem was Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Now in the Medrash it says in Medrash Shir Shirim Rabbah, it says it the opposite way. It says the Rabbanan said that the reason why was because they bowed down to the Tzelem. And Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai said, no, the reason was because they were Nana Mesudasa Shal Chashverish. And what about bowing down to the Tzelem? So over there in the Medrash, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says that, no, what happened by the Tzelem of Nebuchadnezzar was that Nebuchadnezzar took three representatives, or maybe four representatives from every nation in the world, and had them bow in front of him, the image of himself, or in front of that Tzelem. And the three that he took, or four that he took from Bnei Yisrael, happened to be Hanan, Mishael, and Azariah, and they didn't bow. And nobody else had to bow, because it was only three from every nation. That's what Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says. So the Shaila is, it's a shtickle steer in Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. In the Gemara, he said that the reason why, by the story of Purim, they were obligated to be destroyed is because they bowed to the Tzelem. And in the Medrash, he is the one that said, no, they didn't bow down to the Tzelem. The reason why they should be destroyed is because of the Suda. So it's a shtickle steer. So I saw in the Anaf Yosef, and one of the Mefarshim on the Ein Yaakov, so the Anaf Yosef in Mesachas Megillah, he answers this steer by saying that, yeah, one was before Rav Shimon Bar Yochai spent 12 years in the cave, and one was after. I mean, one was like a Havamin Apshat, and one actually spent 12 years in the cave and it was revealed to him different secrets of the Torah, then he said the other Pshat. I don't remember which one was which. He doesn't say which one is which. But that's what he could answer. The Radal here just says that, like, okay, the Gemara and the Medrash just flip who said what, but he doesn't ask it like as a strong question like that. But so he said everyone bowed down except for Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Now the gears over here is slightly tricky, but we'll go with the way the Radal has it. V'Daniel shahayu kareim ha'isay b'shem Elihehem, sorry. Daniel, who was called in the name of Nebuchadnezzar's God, because it says in the Pasuk, Kadmoy Daniel di Shimei Belteshazzar Kishem Elihah. Basically, what happened was that in one of the, I think it's in Perek Beis in Sefer Daniel, so Daniel interprets a dream from Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar is so impressed with it that, like, he starts like worshiping Daniel and whole, he's saying that, like, Daniel is like his god or whatever. And he gave Daniel a name, a special name. He named Daniel Belteshazzar. That was Daniel's nickname or special name that Nebuchadnezzar gave him, Belteshazzar. Could be. So, I mean, it's okay, but his name was not to be confused with one of the successors to Nebuchadnezzar's dynasty, whose name was Belshazzar. That's a name of another Babylonian king later on. But Nebuchadnezzar himself gave a name to Daniel. He called him Belteshazzar. Now the name of the main Avodah Zorah in Bavel is called Baal. That was the name. So the name Belteshazzar that he gave to Daniel has something to do with the Avodah Zorah called Baal. The Mefarshim there explained that it has something to do with, like, that he's like the storage house of Baal, something like that. Shetzar means like storage house, something like that. So Nebuchadnezzar called Daniel this name, Belteshazzar. He gave him the name of his own God. So because of that, Hayagnai Lahem Lusarfoy Ba'esh Shinema Ba'al Achorin Al Kadamai Daniel. Daniel was one of the four people that Daniel was one of the four people that was that one of the four Jews that didn't bow down to this Tzelem that Nebuchadnezzar erected. But the Medrash is explaining, but since Daniel had a special name from Nebuchadnezzar, that his name was Belteshazzar, that he had the name of Nebuchadnezzar's God, so Nebuchadnezzar didn't want to punish Daniel, because it would be a gnai, it would be a disparagement for him, a disgrace to himself, that he would burn in the fire somebody whose name that he himself named after his own God. So Daniel, he left. He didn't throw into the fire. Now it happens to be that there are sources that say that Daniel was thrown in the fire with Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Even in the Psukim, it sounds like not like that. And over here, the Medrash also says not like that. But there are sources that say that Rabbi Yehoshua, the Rekech. It's a whole different, a bunch of different Mefarshim. It could be it's based on the Yaakov Shemaini that brings down this Medrash over here in a different way. But okay, whatever. So Daniel, he didn't want to throw in the fire. But not loy lechanani mishal v'azaria v'nosnoy oisan b'seich kivshaneish. But he took Hanani mishal v'azaria and he put them inside a furnace of fire, a fiery furnace, because the way to understand it is because they didn't have a name of his avodah zarah, right? Well, that's how you would read it, but I have a problem with that, because in the beginning of Sefer Daniel it says that when Hanan and Mishael Azariah were first working in Daniel's in Nebuchadnezzar's court, so he gave them all special names. It says that he gave Daniel a name, Belshazzar, which the significance of that is explained later on, and that he, because he thought he was like a god. And it says it called Mishael Meshach, and he called Hananiah, he called him Meshach, he called Mishael Shadrach, and he called Azariah Avad Negoy. That was his name, Avad Negoy. Now, if you look at a picture of Sadia Goyin on Sefer Daniel, Rav Sadia Goyin explains that what does Avad Negoy mean? He says, Avad Negoy means the servant of Negoy. What's Negoy? So Rav Sadia Goyin says that Gimel and Beis are interchangeable, and so Avad Negoy is really like Avad Nevoy. And Nevoy is the name of one of the Babylonian gods, Nevoy. So Avad Nevoy means servant of Nevoy, of this god Nevoy. There's a pasuk in Sefer Yirmiyah where he talks about the downfall of the different Babylonian gods. It says, Kara Bel, Karas Nevoy. So it puts Bel and Nevoy together, they're going to have a downfall together. Like Nebuchadnezzar, his name is based on the word Nevoy. Nevu and Nevoy, it's the same thing. Nebuchadnezzar, his name has like an element of the word Nevoy in it. Nebuzaradan also has Nevoy in it. So he called Azariah Avad Negoy. And Gimel and Beis are interchangeable. Which it's also interesting that I never found any other source that says that Gimel and Beis are interchangeable. I don't know where Rav Sadia Goyin got them from. Maybe because they're next to each other in the Aleph Beis. I don't know. But Al Kapanim, so my question is that Azariah had a special nickname from Nebuchadnezzar that was Avad Negoy, and yet he's still throwing, Nebuchadnezzar is still throwing Azariah into the fire. Why didn't he save Azariah in the same way that he saved Belshazzar? That he saved Daniel, because Daniel had the nickname Belshazzar. I don't know. But let's continue the story. V'yored Gavriel v'yitzilin mikiv shamesh. The Malach Gavriel came and saved them from the fiery furnace. It's also, it's a Gemara actually, in Mesachas Pesachim, the Malach of ice. We know that Gavriel is the Malach of fire. Yeah. It's Malach of Gavur, Malach of fire. And so the Gemara says that originally there was a Malach of ice who came to Hashem and said, I want to save Hanan and Mishael Azariah. I forget his name, they're like Yurkun or something, I don't know if I'm allowed to pronounce it even. But the Malach of ice. And then Gavriel came and said, no, I'm the Malach of fire. I should save them because it'd be an even bigger nais if these three tzaddikim were thrown into a fire and were saved through the Malach of fire. So Hashem was masking to Gavriel, and then Hashem sent Gavriel to save Hanan and Mishael Azariah. And the Radal brings that there's other gersoyos of the story over here, that some people say it was Michol that saved them, not Gavriel. And also the Gemara, he brings another Gemara in Sanhedrin. Was it in Sanhedrin? No. Also in Pesachim. The Gemara in Pesachim says that when Nebuchadnezzar saw Gavriel coming down to save them, so Nebuchadnezzar got very scared, because Nebuchadnezzar had already encountered this Malach Gavriel earlier in the story of Sancheriv, when Sancheriv, the king of Ashur, came to made a siege against Yerushalayim, and he was going to fight Yerushalayim, and the Malach Gavriel came and destroyed his entire camp in one night. Right? That happened over Lil Pesach. So over there, Nebuchadnezzar was one of the five people that survived that attack. The five people were Sancheriv, and his son Sharetzar, and his other son Adramelech, and Nebuchadnezzar, and I believe Nebuzaradan, who was Nebuchadnezzar's general. Those are the five people that survived the attack. Right? So Nebuchadnezzar was there when he saw that this Malach came and destroyed the entire camp of the Ashur army. So he saw Gavriel and he recognized him. And now again he sees Gavriel coming into the fire to save Hanan and Mishael Azariah. So the Gemara says that he got very scared. Okay. Because usually Michal is the Malach of Rachamim or whatever. Yeah.
That's what happened to the story.
Yeah. Well, the Radal brings in the end of Ois Kuf Ches, he brings that the argue source of this story that says that it was Michal, not Gavriel.
Oh.
Yeah. So in the Shir Shirim Rabba and
Bereshis Rabba. And also the Gemara Rabba says the Malach Michal. When Hashem sends Malach Magnus, Malach Gabriel, Malach Michoel, Michoel is the fastest.
Right.
that
mouth, right? Yeah, I hear. Omar Malach Nebuchadnezzar, the king Nebuchadnezzar said to the Jews, Hayisem yoidem sheyesh lachem alik ha meishiv umatzil. Lama hi nachtem alikechem vishachavisem letzelem she'en b'chayach lahatzil. Now Nebuchadnezzar sees this great story that happened with Hanani Mishael Azariah, and he gives the Jews and Muslims. He says, you Jews, you know that you have such a great God that can save and redeem people. Lama hi nachtem alikechem? Why did you leave your God? Forsake your God, and you bow down to my image, to my statue that has no ability to save you from anything. Why would you do such a stupid thing? God can save people, has a supernatural abilities to help people out. Why would you leave Hashem and start bowing down to my avodah zarah that I erected? You should know better. This is like mamish, like Nebuchadnezzar is like mamish paranoid over here. And he comes up with a whole interesting shot why the Jews did it, and then based on that decides he's going to kill them. Ella, rather, why did you do it? Kederech shasisem ba'artzachem, echayavtem ha'isah, just like you did a avodah zarah in your land when you were in Eretz Yisrael, and you got a punishment that Hashem destroyed the land. Kach atem mevakshim lasis ba'artzi la'achriv ha'isah. So too, you're trying to do the same thing in my land to destroy my land. So the reason why you worshipped the idol that I set up and told you to worship is because you're trying to get my country to be destroyed, because Hashem is going to get angry at me and destroy it. Because obviously you weren't really worshipping it because you believe in Hashem, and your Hashem obviously has supernatural powers. So why you do such a thing as bowing down to the idol must be that you're trying to destroy my people. And the king made a commandment, and he killed all those Jews that worshipped the tzelem that he put in the valley of Dura. Nebuchadnezzar made a commandment that they should all be killed. What? How do we know that all of them were killed by the sword? It says in the pasuk, about these people are harugim. I guess the word is because hereg is one of the Dalad Mrs. Bezdin. Hereg is like stam. The word hereg just means killing someone with a sword. Right? There's skila, srefa, chanek, and hereg. What's hereg? Hereg is killing him with a sword. It's also known as saif, but it's called hereg in the lashon of the Gemara Mishnah, whatever. So these people are called harugim. Now the Medrash over here is gonna say that these people that were slaughtered but killed by Nebuchadnezzar in the Valley of Dura because they worshipped his idol. So the Medrash over here is gonna say that these are the people that were gonna be revived by Yechezkel HaNavi. We've mentioned before that we're going to see the story of the dry bones in the Valley of Dura by Yechezkel Navi. So we've mentioned before a few times already that the Gemara and Maseches Sanhedrin brings different opinions about who these people were. And the most accepted opinion is that they were the people from Bnei Ephraim that left Mitzrayim early by Golas Mitzrayim. Before Yitzis Mitzrayim, they left 30 years early, and then they were like slaughtered on their way and they got killed. So Yechezkel brings them back to life. That's what the Gemara says. Over here, the Medrash is going to say that who were the people that Yechezkel brought back to life? It was these people that were killed in the Valley of Dura because they bowed down to the Tzelem of Nebuchadnezzar. In fact, we already said it, because this pasuk that we just brought that tells you how do you know that they were Harugi Cherev is a pasuk in Yechezkel that's talking about the people that were revived. But right, so let's see what the Medrash says. Rabbi Pinchas says, La'achar esrim shana shenegu chulam be'bavel. After 20 years after these people were all killed in Bavel, the Radal says maybe it's supposed to say 2 years, not 20 years. And then he has a whole part why it says 20, but I don't want to get to that. But 20 or 2 years afterwards, shorisop ruach hakodesh al Yechezkel. The Holy Spirit rested upon Yechezkel HaNavi, who happened to be in Bavel. And Hashem in his nevuah took Yechezkel out to the Valley of Dura. And he showed him a lot, very much amount of dried bones over there in the valley. Right. Hashem said to him, Ben Adam, son of man. That's what Hashem calls Yechezkel in multiple places in Sefer Yechezkel. That's how Hashem refers to him. He calls him Ben Adam. Ben Adam, Matareh. Sir, what do you, Mr. Person, what do you see? I see over here dried bones. So Hashem said to him, Hashem asks Yechezkel, do I have the ability to revive, to resurrect these people, these dried bones over here? Hashem is asking Yechezkel, do I, Hashem, have the ability to resurrect these dry bones? So what's the answer? So the Medrash says, V'haya lai lai mar. What Yechezkel should have said is, Ribbonish alaylam, yesh b'cha koyach lasis yes me'ela. Of course, Master of the Universe, you have the ability to do much more than that. Not just, you're asking, do you have the ability to do this? Of course, yeah, not even that, you have the ability to do much more. That's what Yechezkel should have said. But rather, what did he say? Omar, he said, Hashem Elikim Ato Yodata. Hashem, the God, you know. He didn't say yes, no, of course. Hashem said, do I have the ability to resurrect these people? And Yechezkel didn't say anything. He said, you know the answer. I don't have to say an answer. You know the answer. So the Medrash says, Kilo Himin. It's as if Yechezkel didn't believe that Hashem had the ability to resurrect these people. Lefikach, lo nikbru atzmosef be'eretz tahara. Therefore, Yechezkel's bones were not buried in the pure land or be'eretz Yisrael, in the land of Israel. Shnei Metz says a pasuk, V'ato al adama t'mea tikover. You will be buried on impure land. The Mufarshim speak out that pasuk is actually talking about somebody else. It's not talking about Yechezkel. It's talking about Amatzia, who was the kohen of the base of Avodah Zarah by Beis El. But what it just means to say is that you see that being buried not in Eretz Yisrael is called being buried in an impure land. That's the point. And as the Radal says, we don't need any proof to tell you that Yechezkel was not buried in Eretz Yisrael. Yechezkel was buried in Iraq. If you look on Wikipedia, I wanted to print this out to show you guys, but if you look on Wikipedia, search the tomb of Ezekiel, the prophet, you'll find they have a picture of the cave of Yechezkel Navi. It's in Iraq, in Babel. They know where it is. I don't know if it still exists, but they know where it is. There's a picture there from 1932 of like old Sephardi Jews by the cave of Yechezkel. They look like Yerushalmis, because like Yerushalmis dressed like with a kaftan and a belt and the fez like the Yerushalmis were on Purim. So the old Yerushalmi, old Sephardi Jews over there by the cave of Yechezkel. Very nice picture. Al-Kopanus, we see that Yechezkel was buried not in Eretz Yisrael, because it seems that Yechezkel sort of questioned Hashem's ability to resurrect these people and bring them back from the dead. What's the pshat? What was Yechezkel thinking? Like he had a havamina that Hashem can't do it? Of course Hashem can do it. Why did Yechezkel evade the question, like not try to answer and say, of course he could do it? What was Yechezkel thinking that Hashem can't do it? Like, where's he coming from? So the Radal makes three points over here. First of all, he says that Yechezkel was misupik whether he's going to be, if Hashem wants to resurrect the dead, Hashem of course could do it. But Yechezkel was saying, What are the chances that Hashem is going to resurrect the dead in a nevuah through me? It says, of all the Nevi'im that ever existed, Yechezkel says, there was only one Navi really that resurrected the dead. It was only Eliyahu and Navi. And also Elisha, but Elisha only was able to do it in the schus of Eliyahu and Navi. Right? So what are the chances he's going to do it also through me? I'm not holding by the dargah of Eliyahu and Elisha. That's one point. The second point he says is that when Eliyahu and Elisha resurrected the dead, they only did individuals at a time, right? Eliyahu just did the Ben Atzarfis, and Elisha just did the son of the Shunamis, and just did, what's his name? Shalom ben Tikva. But me, I have a whole bunch of bones over here that Hashem is going to resurrect through me. He didn't find it plausible that Hashem is going to do it through him. Thirdly, what? Thirdly, as we said earlier in the parak, all these other people were zeicha to tchias beisim in the zchus of the mitzvah of tzedakah. Eliyahu HaNavi, we said that the lady, the Isha Tzarfis, helped him out, so she was zecher that her son would be revived after he died. We said, by the Isha Shunamis with Elisha, the same thing, because she helped him, so she was zecher that her son came back to life. Shalom ben Tikva, because he used to help give people water at the entrance of the city, so he was zecher that when he was thrown into the cave of Elisha, he came back to life. All these people came back to life through the schus of Tchias HaMeisim. But over here, all these dry bones over here, they're mamish dry bones. The Gemara says about them that what does it mean that they're dry? They're bnei adam she'ein bo l'chluchas shal mitzvah. They were so dry that they didn't have any wetness of mitzvah. They were like dry from mitzvahs. That's what it means. Like, I guess it's like if Torah is water, so they're like so lacking Torah, so lacking water that they're like mamish dry.
They were dry because they had done.
Maybe. Okay, yeah, according to this Medrash, that they were the ones that did Avodah Zarah, that's even worse.
And also, all the
Techiyas
that had happened,
there
was flesh already there. Right?
Possibly, yeah. Right.
At some point, you didn't.
Oh, you're saying another point, yeah.
You didn't like, believe that you could put natural flesh back.
Right, it was already way after it happened. It was way after these people died. 20 years after, 2 years after. Decomposed. So that's why Yechezkel was sort of skeptical. So he left it up to Hashem.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, you have to go? Okay, Kol Tuv. That means that David has to stay awake. Omalai. So Hashem said to Yechezkel, Hinovei alatzom esaila. Please prophesy about these bones. Amalofanov Yechezkel said to him, Ribbono shel Olam, Master of the Universe, Ma hanevuah meviya aleihem. What could prophecy bring for these bones? They're just bones. What's the prophecy going to do? Basar v'gidim v'atzomais. I call basar v'etz sh'ochlem mehem behem v'chayev v'oif v'meisel be'eretz acheretz. What? The nevuah is going to bring. I'm not sure exactly how to read this, but he's saying that the Nevuah is going to, maybe this is Hashem's answer. Hashem's answer is that the Nevuah is going to bring upon them flesh and sinews and bones. The Radal says it can't be bones because we're talking about bones. So he says rather it should say or, which means skins. And furthermore, Any of these people, that if an animal or a bird or something came and ate part of their bone or took it to a different land or something else happened, so they're not complete corpses over here, right? How are we going to be able to revive them? What's going to happen over here? So miyad yishmiya akadosh baruch hu koloi v'rasha oretz. Hashem let his voice be heard, and the land was screaming. It was shaking. It was an earthquake. There was a rash. A rash is like a great noise, but also means an earthquake. Rash ha'aretz. Interestingly, the Radal says over here that in the Yalkut, it has the gift that Hashem let his voice be heard from between the two kruvim, which is slightly difficult because there's no. Okay, whatever. The kruvim exist in the Aron, wherever the Aron was. The Aron was hidden somewhere. But we spoke about also earlier in the end of Perek Lamed Aleph about this phrase of Mibein Shnei Kruvim. Akabon, so Hashem made this big earthquake, and Hashem made, because of this earthquake, like the whole world shook, and all the bones sort of like they all came back to where they were supposed to be, so that in each, I guess, like each corpse had like a complete set of bones. Even if like a bird came and took this guy's like right foot and brought it to Peru, so this earthquake brought it back here to the Valley of Dura. You know what you're going to say?
Like part of Gila says the voice of Hashem is always heard from
Ben Shnei Kruvim.
Ben Shnei Kruvim, yeah, the bottom. Ben Shnei Kruvim.
Yeah.
Because after, ever since the Aron was built, I think that's the place
where it comes from.
It comes from. Like you say, if you
Beis HaMikdash is destroyed and the Aron is already hidden.
Rabbi Shuv ben Kochel
says, Yoed aleim tchias tal ben ha-shamayim. Shunevea umaytzi mayim. It says a reviving dew came down upon them in the Shemayim, and this dew, like just like a dew sprouts forth water. So too, just like the dew brings water that comes from Shemayim, so too this Tal Tchia came down and brought them flesh, and again it says Asamis, and the Radal changes it to Oireis, skins and sinews. Shema Vareza Vihine Allah Vihine Alehem Gidim. It says Gidim came upon them. Amala Hinavil Ruch. Fine. Something the Radal points out that we only find the idea of Tal Tchia, that the Tchia Samesim that comes through dew, we only find that about the Tchia Samesim in the future by Yemesim Mashiach. It doesn't say in the Pesukim by Yecheskel that there was a dew that brought about the Tchia. But the man is not understanding, like who didn't hear as well. Right. Yot Ba'is HaShah, at that moment, Yotzu Arba Ruchais Hashemayim Ufasu Es Eitzreis Hanashamais. At that moment, the four directions of the heavens, the four directions opened up, and the Eitzreis Hanashamais, the what's it called, the storage house of the Neshamas, which the Gemara Mesachas Yevamos says that the name of that storage house is called Guf. So the name of that Eitzer is Guf. So all the Guf, which holds all the Neshamas, the storage house of all the Neshamas, opened up. And it allowed the spirit or the Neshama of every person to come back into him. I gave it a vow like Hashem commanded me. And what happened was that the Neshamas of all these people that were dead came back to their bodies. And it says over here in the pasuk, Chayil Gadol Ma'id, a great crowd. Ma'id. Uchsiv, and elsewhere it says by the Jews in Mitzrayim, it says Uvnei Yisrael Paru Vayishitu Vayirbu B'Ma'id Ma'id, that the Jews multiplied very much. So over there it says Ma'id, and over here it says Ma'id. So what's the we're dashing a gzer shava? That's the mafashim say. Mal halan shishim riboy, av kan shishim riboy. Just like in Mitzrayim. Yeah. Yeah. Chanami. But just like by the Jews in Mitzrayim, there were 600,000 people. So too by this nevuah of Yechezkel, where he resurrected the Atzamei Sivashis, it was 600,000 people. And they all got up and they stood on their feet. Chutz miish echad, except for one man, who Amar Navi. So the Navi Yechezkel said, Ribbono shel Olam, Master of the Universe, he asked Hashem, Mad tivo shel zeh? What's the nature of this person? What did this guy do that he's not zeicha, that he's going to be able to stand on his feet? Amaloi baneshech nasan. So Hashem said to him, he lent money with neshech, with ribbis, with what's it called, the interest. He lent money with interest, and because he lent money with interest, therefore he was not zeicha to tchias amesim. It is an interesting thing. This mamish, like, this brings our parak over here to like a full circle. In the beginning of the parak and all the stories that we saw earlier, the lesson of the story was that doing tzedakah and the koyach of tzedakah, the zchus of tzedakah, brings about tchias amesim. And here we see the exact opposite. The inverse. The inverse is that not doing tzedakah, meaning giving money to somebody, which could be the ultimate chesed, just give him a free loan, a gemach, that's what a gemach is called, a gemach, because it's the ultimate chesed, to give a person free money, that he just give back the money and that's it. Instead, you're giving him money and trying to make money off of him, that's giving a loan with interest, so that impedes on a person's ability to get tchias amesim. And it's a steer to tchias amesim. That's why this person who lent money beribis, he didn't get tchias amesim. There's an interesting tesis, the tesis in Mesachas of Bava Metzia, and Daf Ayin Amid Beis. The Radal brings it down, it says Ayin Zayin, but it's a typo in this tradition of the Radal. It's supposed to say Ayin Amid Beis. Tesis brings down in the name of the Targum Yerushalmi. which Chaya means Pirkei d'Eliezer, because Targum Yonasan, Targum, usually when the Rishonim call Targum Yerushalmi is what we call Targum Yonasan, and I said before that Targum Yonasan generally follows Pirkei d'Eliezer. In this instance, it's not true. Targum Yonasan doesn't go like Pirkei d'Eliezer. Targum Yonasan goes like the Gemara that says that Yechezkel revived the people from Ephraim that left early. That we spoke about in Perek Mem Ches last year. But Targum Yonasan says that the person who was revived, who didn't stand on his feet, he was life of the ribbis, he lent people money with interest, so that's why he wasn't zechut to go on his feet. So Tesis asks, it was before Matan Torah, so there was no history of ribbis yet, so what's the problem? So the Radah says that's only if you understand that the guys who were resurrected by Yechezkel were the people that left Egypt early. But if you learn like our Midrash over here, that it's talking about the people that bowed down in the time of Nebuchadnezzar to the Tzelem, so that makes a lot of sense, because this was after Matan Torah. So there was an Isser Ribbis, so those people could be implicated for the Isser of Ribbis. But Tosafot says, yeah, okay, because it wasn't so much. Yeah. It couldn't have been that much, you're saying. Yeah. But Tosafot has two answers. One answer is that even though before Matan Torah there was no Isser Ribbis, but there's Isser of stealing, and for some reason Ribbis is like stealing. And then the other answer Tosafot says is that Echanami, it wasn't a punishment for giving with Ribbis. It's just that this guy, he lacked the schus that he should become resurrected. It wasn't a punishment, it just was a lack of schus. That's what Tesis says in Mamitzia. Fine.
Sorry,
I don't know if
I am able to just agree with
Tesis,
but I'm just trying to understand interesting point here.
Yeah.
And that's deep problem. That's their problem. That's the reason why the guy.
No, but you could say everyone else. No, that's the reason why he's different than everyone else. Everyone else didn't give Beribis.
Now, like the person said, this particular person didn't have those schus.
Right.
It could be that he had another schus.
But he didn't have this schus.
Yeah. Because this one is so great, they wouldn't like to be resurrected because of this fail, this problem.
Yeah.
Even though he had different
experiences. At that moment, the Jews that were resurrected, they were crying, and they said to themselves, they said to each other, They were saying, these people that were resurrected in the time of Yechezkel, this is like not so long after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, so they were crying and they were saying, we died and we were waiting that we're going to come to Tchias HaMeisim with the whole Bnei Yisrael. Achshav of the Sikvasinu. Now, resurrected, and we see the Klai Yisrael in such a horrible massive, this is like the beginning of Golos Bavel, now we lost our hope. Because we were resurrected, and we see that we were looking forward to Tchias HaMeisim, and now we see that Tchias HaMeisim isn't as good as we thought it would be. So Baruch Hashem, our Kadosh Baruch Hu, Lenovi. So at that moment, Hashem said to the prophet Yechezkel, Lech Amar Lehem, go and say to them, Chai Ani, I swear over my life. I guess it's a lashon of swearing. Hashem swears, Sha'ami Yitzchem B'Sechim L'Asud Lavi. Then I'm gonna have you come up by Tchias HaMeisim, by the resurrection of the dead in the future. Mekaveitz is Kol Yisrael, the Kibbutz Kol Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, and I'm gonna gather all the Jews to a gathering of the exiles to Eretz Yisrael. To the ingathering of the exiles to Eretz Yisrael, Shinema, as it says the pasuk, Hine ani paisach es kivurei seichem. Behold, I am going to open up your graves. So Hashem says that, don't worry, you came back to life over here by Tchias HaMeisim. You didn't use up your one Tchias HaMeisim. You came back to life over here. This was just to show, to give chizuk to Bnei Yisrael. But now, you know, at some point you're going to die again, and then you're going to come back to life with the real Tchias HaMeisim, which is going to be Be'ezer Hashem lo'asud lavoi. Coming up very soon. Just one last point. We just finished the peg. One last gishmak of vart that's negated to this idea over here. The Gemara towards the end of Masechas Megillah, Daf Lamed Aleph Lamed Aleph, the Gemara says, "What's the haftarah for Shabbos Chol HaMoed?" What's Haftarah and Shabbos Chol HaMoed? So Gemara says that Shabbos Chol HaMoed Sukkos, we read the Haftarah of the Mechanes Goyg U'Magoyg in Sefer Yechezkel. Shabbos Chol HaMoed Pesach, we read the Haftarah of the story of Tchias HaMeisim, the dry bones that Yechezkel resurrected. That's Shabbos Chol HaMoed Pesach. It's not Negev this year because there is no Shabbos Chol HaMoed this year. But Be'ezer Hashem, previous years it's been Negev, in the future it'll be Negev. Shabbos Chol HaMoed Pesach, we read the story of Yechezkel resurrecting the dead. The Shaila is, why do we read about Goyg U'Magoyg on Sukkos, and why do we read about the resurrection of the dead on Pesach? So Rashi says like this. Rashi in Megillah says, the reason why we read about Mechamas Goyg U'Magoyg on Chol HaMoed Sukkos, Shabbos Chol HaMoed Sukkos, is because it says in that Haftarah, it says that Hashem is going to punish all the Goyim that didn't come up to Yerushalayim to celebrate Sukkos. So therefore, we read it on Sukkos. Because by Mechamas Goyg U'Magoyg, Hashem is going to wipe out all the nations that didn't come to celebrate Sukkos. So it's not, it talks about Sukkos, so we read it on Sukkos. Why do we read about the resurrection of the dead by Yechezkel on Chol HaMoed Pesach? So Rashi says, because Pesach is about the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and these people that Yechezkel revived, resurrected from the dead, were the Bnei Ephraim that left early from and they weren't a part of Yetzias Mitzrayim, so we read about them. That's what Rashi says. But according to Rashi, you have to know exactly why do we read it on Chol HaMoed, Shabbos Chol HaMoed. It's not, you could just read it on Yontav of Sukkot, the Yontav of Pesach. Why? What does that have to do with Tafka Shabbos Chol HaMoed? I don't know. But that's what Rashi says. There's another voice from Rav Haigain. The Tur brings this, all different Rishonim bring this from Rav Haigain. Why do we read about Goyg U'Magoyg on Sukkot, and why do we read about Tchias HaMeisim on Pesach? Rav Haigain says that we have a Kabbalah that says that the Mechamas Goyg U'Magoyg is going to happen in the month of Tishrei, and that we have a Kabbalah that Tchias HaMeisim is going to happen in the month of Nisan. And that's why we read about Goyg U'Magoyg on Sukkot, because it's going to happen that month. And that's why we read about Tchias HaMeisim on during Nisan, because it's going to happen mamash in that month on Pesach and Chol HaMoed Shabbos Chol HaMoed. So I saw an interesting vart. What's the pshat? Why we read on Shabbos? Why is it dafka Shabbos Chol HaMoed Sukkot that we read about Mechamas Goyg U'Magoyg? Why dafka Shabbos Chol HaMoed? So there's a pshat I saw from Elio Katz. He was the Rav of Slovakia, the chief rabbi of Slovakia after World War II, and then he came to Eretz Yisrael and he was the chief rabbi of Beersheba. But Rav Eliyosh Katz, whatever they call him, Rav Eliyosh Katz, so he says a vart, there's a Gemara in Shabbos, Taf Kuf Yud Ches, Amud Aleph, the Gemara says that a person who's makbid to eat three sudos on Shabbos, he's going to be saved from the tzoros of Mechamas Goyg U'Magoyg. So he says that's why we read it dafka on Shabbos Chol HaMoed Sukkos, because it has to do with Shabbos. Because if you want to be saved from Goyg U'Magoyg, it's going to happen in Tishrei or on Sukkos. I read somewhere that it's going to happen on Hoshana Rabbah, something like that. I couldn't find the source to it. But on Sukkot time, why dafka Chol HaMoed Shabbos do we read it? Because if you keep Shabbos properly, if you do three sudas on Shabbos, so you'll be zecher to be saved from the tzoros of Goyg U'Magoyg. So then, that's what he says. So my shaila is, so what about, why do we read the story of Yechezkel reviving the dead on Tchias HaMeisim, dafka on Chol HaMoed Shabbos of Pesach, why not on the Yontav of Pesach? Right? You explain why Chol HaMoed Shabbos of Sukkot, what about Chol HaMoed Shabbos of Pesach? Where does that come from? So we had this kasha a few years back. Me and my wife were thinking about it. We worked it out. We came up with a pshat like this. It's a well-known idea that I think it's from the Shibboleth Aleket, and other Rishonim say this already, that there's one of the bones of a person is called the loose bone. One of the bones of a body is called the loose bone, and that bone is from the Chazal tell us that from that bone, that's where Tchias HaMeisim is going to come from. Hashem is going to start doing the Tchias HaMeisim of a person starting from the loose bone and then going up to the rest of the body. Now, the Shibboleth Aleket and other Rishonim say that this loose bone, it only gets its hana from a person who eats Malava Malka on Shabbos, or Motzei Shabbos. That's what it says. So According to that, you could say a similar part of why do we read about the story of Tchias HaMeisim Dafka and Chol HaMoed Shabbos of Pesach? Because it also has to do with Shabbos. It also has to do with Shabbos. Because on Shabbos, we're telling you that if you keep Melava Malka properly, it's like keeping Shabbos properly, keeping Shabbos properly, keeping Melava Malka properly, so then a person will be zechet to Tchias HaMeisim in the proper way, and everything will work out. Be'ezer Hashem. Okay, have a chai, kosher, and sameach.